The state legislative session wrapped up a little over a week ago, and all the concern, all the talk was about amount of tax increases that were passed, about amount of state spending the Washington state budget has. And I wanted to try and bring in someone who was supportive of the tax hikes in the state legislative session. Those are sitting on the desks, the desk right now of Governor Bob Ferguson. He has some decisions to make in regards to that. And I wanted to bring in somebody who's got a business background, who's got, you know, a stake in this and what these tax hikes are going to mean for business owners in this state. So I want to start off with House Majority Leader in the Washington legislature. That makes him number two in seniority in the Olympia legislature. He's a state representative from West Seattle and Vashon Island, Joe Fitzgibbon. Representative Fitzgibbon, thank you for being with me here on the show this morning.
Sure. Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Phil.
Yeah. How would you describe the legislative session? Arduous? Difficult? Something else?
It was definitely a difficult session. Yeah, this was my 15th legislative session, and there's no question it was the most difficult one. And really, the reasons for that were the significant budget shortfalls we had in both the transportation budget.
Were they budget shortfalls, or were they kind of commitments to spending that you didn't want to hold back on?
Yeah, so for example, we had commitments to a significant increase in childcare slots that we had to put off significantly. That was a significant part of the cost driver. We had expansions in student financial aid that we weren't able to do for higher education institutions. The biggest place that we were able to make increased investments was in the K-12 education system, which is by far the biggest thing that the state spends money on. And we had significant increases in funding for special education and the materials, supplies, and operating costs for school districts and for levy equalization, which is how we support districts that are generally in more rural parts of the state, more property poor, and can't raise as much money
off of a property tax hike. Is that House Bill 2081, which you sponsored?
House Bill 2081, which I sponsored, was a bill that increased business taxes. That was a significant part of how we paid for the increases in K-12 spending, which were funded in the operating budget, a different bill.
2049 was the property tax-related one. All right.
2049 allowed sort of property-rich districts to increase the property taxes that their voters have already approved. And then we had sort of a counter-investment for districts that don't, you know, are more property poor and don't raise as much in local levies. And that was at levy equalization, which we funded in the state operating budget.
All right. I want to bring in a former Washington state representative and ran for Pierce County auditor last fall. Executive, Pierce County executive, and did not win the Pierce County executive election. She's also the business owner of Visiting Angels in Tacoma. It's an in-home care for seniors business, Kelly Chambers. Kelly, thank you for joining Majority Leader Fitzgibbon and me here on The Morning Ride.
Hey, Phil, good morning, and congratulations on your recent promotion.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Taking over for John Carlson here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. So the payoff is going to be here. All the taxes that go up, what is this going to mean, though, for businesses? And so that's why we wanted to bring Kelly in. Kelly, from what you've seen so far from the legislative session, the bills that are sitting on Governor Ferguson's desk for signature, how would this impact a company, a business like the one you and your family run?
You know, at the end of the day, this just raises prices for everyone. It increases, you know, our cost of doing business, and that gets passed along to the people we serve. So, you know, the tax hike hits small businesses hardest because it drives up costs for all Washington families. So it's bad policy and bad timing and bad economics.
Representative Fitzgibbon, is that a factor that you and your fellow Democrats in the Olympia legislature are taking into account? How far do you push this stuff before there become financial drawbacks?
Yeah, well, we Nobody likes raising taxes. Nobody wants to raise taxes.
Well, then why do it?
Is one of the in order to pay for services that Washingtonians count on, like our public school system and our mental health system, services for the developmentally disabled, for seniors, for our higher education system. You know, we do it because there's services that we did have to cut very deeply, you know, in higher education, in child care, in mental health this year, even with the tax increases. We would have had to make much deeper, more harmful cuts if, you know, if we hadn't raised taxes. So we don't raise taxes because we want to, but we raise taxes specifically with a focus on the largest businesses in the state and the very wealthiest people in the state through the estate tax and the capital gains tax. So we really worked hard to avoid impacts to ordinary households and to small businesses wherever possible, and focus the tax increases that we were able to raise on companies like Microsoft and Amazon and Tesla.
Yeah, the big business tax was a key component of what the legislature passed. You just mentioned that the state legislature did make some cuts to higher education and child care. Is the state using taxpayer money to pay for services for illegal aliens in the state?
There are some state programs where undocumented Washingtonians are eligible, but then they also contribute a lot in taxes. So, so you know, I think it would be unfair for us to say that, you know, you're a taxpayer, you're paying sales tax, you're paying property tax, you're paying business tax if you're a business owner, but you don't qualify for state services. But not all state services are available to undocumented folks.
Kind of saying it's a wash in some respects, I guess, based on what comes in, what goes out.
I mean, in a lot of ways, it's a net benefit to folks who are citizens, because folks who are undocumented are paying all the same taxes that Washingtonians pay, Washington citizens pay, but aren't eligible for all the same services. For example, they pay into the Social Security system, but aren't eligible for Social Security. Right? There's just a lot of ways in which Washingtonians are better off because undocumented folks are net contributors to our public services.
All right. Probably a conversation that we could spend the whole segment talking about here. We'll continue along talking with the majority leader in the Washington legislature, state representative from West Seattle and Vashon Island, Joe Fitzgibbon. And my other guest is a former state lawmaker from Puyallup and business owner of Visiting Angels in Tacoma, Kelly Chambers. The property tax increase in Majority Leader Fitzgibbon, you referenced it as it goes to levy school funding and things like that. For property taxes that are going to go up, Kelly Chambers, is that a significant impact for how you operate your business? I mean, everyone has to deal with it as a homeowner or a renter. How does that impact a business owner for property taxes going up?
Yeah, you know, Phil, in the last 10 years since 2014, Washington's tax collections have almost doubled. There's been almost 50 new tax increases, and they all just, you know, contribute to making Washington less affordable for working families. You know, the B&O tax increase passed this session. There's a couple different ones, but they're a direct hit on Washington's economy, which hurts every household in the state. The B&O tax increase, for example, is one of the most regressive because it's based on gross receipts and not net profit. So that means small businesses, even those ones barely getting by, are taxed before they pay a single employee or pay rent. And now the state is making that burden even worse. So, you know, you couple that with property tax increases, it doesn't matter if you rent or own, it just makes it more expensive to live in Washington.
And I guess reading between the lines, it sounds like you're saying for the business owner, too.
For the business owner. And, you know, those increases just get passed along in higher prices, which, you know, particularly, you know, in my industry in long-term care, it makes it less affordable for those that are, you know, on fixed income to live in the state. So higher costs for them means that they're a faster spend down of their savings, and more of them end up on Medicaid sooner and are a greater draw on public resources.
For your business, Kelly, you know, these associated taxes go up. What does that mean for your employees? What does that mean for your customers? What does that mean for you as the business owner?
You know, having ran a long-term care business for 20 years in the state, I see this all the time. People, you know, at the end of life where they need more care, it's more expensive. They spend down faster, and everybody's worried about making their money last. until the very end, when expenses can be, you know, exceptionally high, when somebody needs 24-hour care, if somebody's on hospice or has dementia, the cost can be quite extraordinary. And we see, you know, people run out of money, and, you know, that's just a very real fear. And then they, you know, convert to Medicaid when they're out of, you know, private funds to pay for their care and stay in their homes. It can be very difficult for end of life care. And what we've seen, you know, in this legislative session, not directly my industry, but, you know, the legislature doubled the adult family home bed licensing rate. They tripled the bed licensing rate for assisted livings. So when you start to look into that industry and see what it costs per month to live, it's exceptionally expensive. And this legislative session this year made it even worse.
Okay. Majority Leader Fitzgibbon, when you hear a business owner share those sorts of concerns, are other business owners reaching out to you during the tail end of the legislative session when so much of the budget debate and the tax hike bills were being discussed in the legislative session? Were you getting that kind of feedback, or did you just not hear those sorts of things from business owners?
Yeah, well, there were a lot of taxes that were proposed and discussed during the legislative session that didn't ultimately pass. And I think a big part of that is the feedback that we hear from all Washingtonians, including business owners and, you know, folks who work for businesses that were impacted by some of the proposals. That's why we focused the taxes that we did pass on the biggest businesses with the most ability to pay. You know, for example, the advanced computing surcharge and the B&O tax, which is really Microsoft and
Amazon.
You
said advanced computing, ACS. Isn't that the phrase? Advanced computing services. Yeah. For a second, with the phone or your voice or one thing, it almost sounded like you said danced. So I just wanted to clarify.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Advanced computing surcharge, which is really a Microsoft and
business
Amazon
and tech
paid.
Related. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, the B&O surcharge you referenced with House Bill 2081, that's only levied on businesses making over $250 million a year. There's a tax on zero emission vehicle credits, which is only paid by Tesla.
The Tesla tax,
so we really tried to make to avoid taxes that would fall on working class, middle class Washingtonians or on small businesses and focus on households and businesses with the most ability to pay. Yeah. That doesn't mean that those are, you know, easy or without consequences, you know, and we you know, definitely are cognizant of that. But we also have to weigh that with the choices of, you know, eliminating kidney dialysis services for, you know, for people on Medicaid or eliminating state student financial aid. Even the tax, the spending reductions that we did pass this year, you know, were, you know, uniformly opposed by House Republicans. We you know, we tried to eliminate a program that provides sort of study abroad for Washington students, which is a great thing. Of course, we'd love to make sure that every Washington student can study abroad. But, you know, we thought, is this really a priority of government right now when we're cutting so many other things and raising taxes? You know, and that would have saved, I think, about $3 million a year. You know, and that was uniformly opposed by House Republicans. And so we didn't really have a lot of reduction options that were popular. And so we had to choose between sort of the least harmful reduction options and the least harmful tax options.
All right. Majority Leader Fitzgibbon, one of the last things we've got time to get to here because the segment is running short, but you indicated about the reason for getting the property tax lifted was to help with this levy equalization slash getting more, I guess, money for education spending in this state. And part of the levy equalization, if I understand it from House Bill 2049, is if a district doesn't pass one of these enrichment levies, I think is the phrase that the legislature uses, if they don't pass an enrichment levy, the state will end up kicking in some money for those districts that don't pass them. A lot of the Seattle area school districts are pretty reliable. Those levies always seem to get approved, but some of the outlying areas, the vote usually is against some of these levies. Is there a moral hazard in that if the state is going to say, hey, you know what, if you don't pass the levy, we're going to kick in the money anyway?
Yeah, so I would definitely agree with you if that was how that program worked, the local effort assistance or levy equalization as it's generally called. The way that levy equalization works is it goes to school districts that have low property values. Sort of whether or not they pass their levy is to say that if your property values are low enough that you're not able to generate the kinds of support for public schools that a district like Seattle or Bellevue or like Washington can, then the state's going to kick in money because we think that every kid in the state deserves education, deserves a quality K-12 education. If the money only went to districts that voted down a levy, I think that would be an absolute moral hazard, and I wouldn't support doing that. You know, no district that I represent, three school districts, Highline, Vashon, and Seattle, gets a single dollar out of levy equalization. It really mostly goes to rural parts of Washington, but I think that that's worth doing because every kid deserves an education.
Representative, Majority Leader Fitzgibbon, I know that there is so much more that we could be discussing about this, but we have kind of run out of time. So my guest, Joe Fitzgibbon from the Washington Legislature, the House Majority Leader, Kelly Chambers, former lawmaker in Olympia, now business owner, I thank you both very much for this time, but that's going to wrap it up for us here on The Morning Ride. And if either of you are up to it, I'd love to have you back on. We could talk more about how this plays out after the legislative session. Thank you so much for your help and your time today.